T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Cody Decker.
I didn't know the balls were being made by Titleist until this season. If anyone thinks the balls aren't different, either they're stupid or just don't care, because I led the PCL in home runs with 27 home runs in 2014. The team leader on my team currently at the All-Star break has 29 home runs, and he spent a month in the big league. These balls are absurd. I've never seen so many home runs. And the best thing is, people always complain because the PCL has always been known to be a hitter's league, that cheap home runs happen. I play a pretty hitter-friendly ballpark in Reno, so there's occasionally a cheap one that goes over the right field fence, but now it's cheap ones going everywhere. And I feel so bad that I only got 80 at-bats this year. I didn't have enough at-bats to take advantage. I feel like I should have had 30 in those 80 at-bats, but instead I had 7.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score. I'm Connor. Dan is off. He has driving.
Just like that. That's all there is to it.
Yes.
That's all there is to it.
It's
a winner.
Is that today? Rick clearly happy there. We'll get the producers in a second. Dan is off. He is out trying to catch the Humboldt Park Gator. Mark Grody is in for Dan. What up, Mark?
What's going on? Yeah, so people are not happy necessarily that I'm here. You're just happy Dan is not here.
No, I'm happy. So. I'm thrilled that you're here.
Okay,
I was worried that we would lose pretty much half the station to the effort to catch the Humboldt Park Gator.
I'm totally in. I'm probably going to take off and go out there afterwards.
Glad. Yep. Glad. They need a good man on the scene like yourself. You can follow the show online and, of course, stream it as well. Twitter.com is the website for Twitter. You can follow us there at Bernstein_MCK. You can email the show, Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. And we are, as always, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. You can watch the show by going to the video stream. That's watch670thescore.com. And you've got to download the radio.com app to stream the show. Yes, download the app on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook. It's an experience. You can like the 670 The Score page and get involved with all of the conversation there. Our producers this morning, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and Ray Diaz. We're going to have on the show a little later, 10 o'clock, Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune. We're going to talk a little Bears with him because we have Mark Grody on. And he's our Bears reporter, so we're going to talk a little. Plus, I'm right there. You know, Rick in the meeting this morning was like, July 4th, the football itch starts to hit. You get the All-Star break. You get a couple of days away from my favorite sport, baseball, and you start to think, okay, what else? Football? Can we talk football? Can we do a little football?
Yes, and my life begins in earnest on July 20th when I go to Decatur to hear from the GM Ryan Pace and the head coach Matt Nagy, and then July 25th, Connor, come on down to Bourbon Ale. I've got twin beds in my dorm.
Two twin beds?
Yeah, they set up a little studio in there for me. So I'm looking forward to getting back on the campus of Olivet Nazarene and just bearing down, so to speak. I'm excited, and I've got all sorts of Bears thoughts, too.
The Midway is going to be at 10:40. Len Casper, the television voice of the Chicago Cubs, is going to join us at 11. The Cubs get their season started back up again with 3 against the Pirates. That begins on Friday. Some surprises along the way, perhaps, but we're going to start our day with kind of the news of the morning. Jed Hoyer, general manager of the Chicago Cubs, was on the Mully and Haw show with Tom Thayer, sitting in for Haw as he's off on vacation and spiriting about the globe. I thought it was really interesting to hear Jed kind of talk about the issues around his team. Obviously, we've understood what it is to watch this team in the first half of the season. And quite honestly, Mark, and I know you know this, I know Cubs fans know this, but it has felt exactly the same over this first half as it has the season prior and the second half of the season before that. It's been over and over again the same kind of stuff. And in an off season where the front office asked Joe Maddon to change, Joe Maddon of all people, It sounds like that's happened. It sounds like Jed was at the very least satisfied that the changes around the managerial aspect of things and about the approach to things has changed, but that's not led to any kind of different result, at least not yet.
And I've given Joe a lot of credit for that, because how many superstar managers at his age, Joe Maddon's age, 63, 64, 60, whatever he is, mm-hmm. when asked to change, would actually comply with that. Joe Maddon has had throughout his managerial career going back to Tampa, and even, you know, learning from the coaches with the Angels when he was there, he has a very specific way of doing things, a very specific philosophy, and part of that was being hands-off, and he was asked to be more hands-on.
Yeah.
He liked the idea of, you know, last-minute lineups and, you know, playing around with the lineup, and now he has to enter that in a little bit earlier. So he has complied with just about everything. He has done what they have asked him to do. I always found it ironic that there's no, you know, he has no job security going forward, but in essence, they have asked him to do more. We don't know if we want you, but we want you to do more with the players that we have out there. One of my big takeaways, too, was that I don't think that they're, based on what they were saying, that they were saying that the second half will define this team.
That's the money.
Right? Like, to me, that says that they're going to keep Joe Maddon. This is it. Everybody gets one more run here. The core gets another run. Joe Maddon gets another run. And if it doesn't go well, then, well, we could just let Joe go and maybe make a dramatic move after that.
Yeah, and I think the drama comes from perhaps one of the core four guys. You know, your Rizzo, your Bryant, your Schwarber. Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Contreras. Those are your four. They would have loved to have been a five with Schwarber involved in it.
Almora, too, was in the original core four.
No, you could absolutely throw that guy in there, and they should. Really what this is I heard Jed this morning and kind of bought the buy-in. I kind of think that, again, they will roll the dice one more time. They will push chips to the middle one more time. They want that team to make them add like they did last season with Cole Hamels and Jesse Chavez. Did you know, I know you saw it, Cubs fans did, but put a number on it. In the second half, I was reading this in Patrick Mooney's piece this morning,
mm-hmm.
The Cubs added 4.6 wins above replacement in the second half alone with the addition of Cole Hamels and Jesse Chavez. 4.6. That's a big number for fewer than 82 games of baseball. So if you're asking this front office, and I think they're asking themselves this, I think the roster is going to have to ask them for this eventually. I think the players and certainly fans are asking for them to add more to this team. 4.6 is a big target to throw out there. I mean, that's a lot. That's a frontline starter in Cole Hamels. Hopefully he's back, and mm-hmm. that helps the addition. Jesse Chavez was the only guy in Joe Maddon's circle of trust last season for a solid 3.5 weeks.
Any scenario he would put him in.
Every single one of them. I mean, they were thinking about spot starting him at one point, and the guy had pitched like 2 days ago or something, because that's where they needed him to be. So you look at the potential additions, and there's a lot of pitching out in San Francisco that you could potentially go get for probably some cost. Marcus Stroman has been tweeting about wanting to go to the Yankees. Have you followed Marcus Stroman, like Instagram, the Blue Jays starter?
Yeah.
Either his Instagram feed or his Twitter feed. He keeps it's the funniest guy at the deadline. He keeps mentioning the Yankees. It's like his, because he's a New York guy, grew up rooting for him, loved the pinstripes, all that stuff. But I love being a Blue Jay. Don't get me wrong. Blue Jays fans are like, dude, just say it.
Yeah.
You want to go. It's
okay
fine.
To want to go from a horrible team right now in Toronto to a really good team in the New York Yankees. It's okay, Marcus.
But those prices, I think, are going to be high. And when you look at the offense being provided by Chris Bryant, he's a top four wins above replacement player in the National League. He has had the kind of season he's wanted to have, but still it's been disappointing for him. And you were reading as much as I was his comments about Joe Maddon and Chris kind of imploring keeping Joe Maddon, this emphasis on we have to give the support on the field to this front office to keep the Joe around. That's what we want. That's what we need to show.
Yeah, and I think that that was, and we'll hear Jed Hoyer's comments as it pertains to that as well, but that sound reads to me more like a player wanting to protect a friend more than wanting to protect a manager, and I realize that both can be the same.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's one of those guys, Chris Bryant is, that just loves Joe Maddon. And, you know, people say, has Joe been universally loved within that clubhouse? No. I mean, look, he's the boss. Not everybody is going to like the boss. And I know that there have been players in the past that have, at moments, they would shake their head over things that Joe would do. They would not like certain things that Joe would do. But for the most part, how could you not like playing for Joe Maddon just because of the fact that for the most part he leaves guys alone?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're Albert Almora or David Bodie, who want to complain a little bit about playing time, but even then, I think Joe, it sounds as though Joe, at least in the public and probably with them, has been pretty clear about playing time issues. You know, he's like, what was the quote earlier this year? Albert Almora isn't a full-time, it's not a warm and fuzzy thing, Joe said.
Right.
We're trying to win games. We've asked on this show, and everybody has asked Jed and Theo about playing time over development. This idea that you got to deploy guys into spots and kind of be more platoony with guys so that you can win more ball games. Well, that's been to the detriment, perhaps, of some development from Almora and from Schwarber and from Bodie, I guess, a little bit too, somewhat less in that case specifically. But, yeah, they don't care. They're trying to win ball games. That's been their thrust for 4 years now, 5 years now.
Yeah, and everybody knows, too, the Joe Maddon's record in the second half while with the Cubs. You know, he's over .600 winning percentage during his tenure with the Cubs. And part of it, too, and maybe it's already started, but to capitalize it, Joe Maddon stops screwing around when it comes to the second half. Any of the experimental things that he does in the first half of the season, you know, playing players out of position, out of lineup, putting guys in high leverage, like you're probably not going to see a whole lot of Tyler Chatwood in big spots.
Yeah.
And that's part of the fortifying of the bullpen anyway. But Joe Maddon manages differently in the second halves of season. It's not just some magic thing like Joe just happens to be better. Like you can see things that he does in the second halves of seasons that he will not do, that he will try things in the first half that he won't do in the second half.
This segment brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. He's Mark Grody in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. And you can text us, too. It's 67011. I think you got into an interesting aspect of this then. If Joe Maddon and the Cubs are definitely, Jed said it, we are counting on more than just four guys to give us a boost in this second half. We are counting on a track record of this team and Joe Maddon's to get on a kick in the second half. And you mentioned it, Joe stops experimenting. He stops screwing around with things in the second half. And I think, look at the Flyers. I hadn't thought about this before you put it this way. Look at the Flyers the Cubs have already taken this season. They tried Tyler Chatwood in big leverage innings and for multiple goes. They tried that, and they should have. You've got to find some
Absolutely.
Sort of value in that guy, given the season he had last
year.
And
he's been fine in those spots.
He's been fine.
But
he's
nobody's going to want to push it.
And nobody wants to start him either. You tried a couple of different bullpen matchups. You tried Kyle Ryan in some big situations. He's been meh. You tried getting Brad Brock back online, and you're still – that's the one you still may have to suffer through, by the way, is Brad Brock and trying to get him feasible for some innings. But the front office took a flyer on Carlos Gonzalez, and he played for like 10 out of 15 games, it felt like. Didn't get on the heater. They had to let him go because of an injury issue to the starting rotation that necessitated some other bullpen moves. Those are worthy and out-of-the-box flyers to take when you've got a team that, other than, you know, four guys, haven't been consistent offensively. They've tried that. Now it's got to be bigger ammunition spent.
Now's winning time, and yeah, that would never happen in the second half. Another example of some of the guys that you were giving what they did in the first half, which you won't see. And I don't even know if we're going to see Carl Edwards Jr. again this year because of, you know, the injury, and then he looked like he was going to come back, and then he wasn't. But think about Carl Edwards early in this year. They were all about, like, they thrust him
right
back into high leverage. They're like, we're going to try to make you Carl again.
Yep.
We're going to go forward with it. You know what you will not see is CJ Edwards in super high leverage spots unless there is, like, complete catastrophe in terms of injuries in that bullpen. That experiment, great for the first half, great for the first 40 games of the year. You ain't going to see Carl Edwards Jr. in big spots in the second half.
It's going to be really interesting to watch how they have to meld guys back into that bullpen, because Carl Edwards Jr. makes the bullpen better if he's healthy, even if he is, you know, the kind of frustrating version that Carl Edwards Jr. can be.
Right. Does he make the bullpen better?
If he's on. Yeah, if he's that guy he was in 16 or so. And listen, if you want to tell me that spin rate and that fastball isn't doing what it used to do, I'm here for it. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to watch, because I think that may have been gone. But you at some point may have some innings from Brandon Morrow. I wouldn't count on him. He's more a myth than a man at this point. But he's there in a potential addition. I just can't imagine they're counting on anything.
Oh, that's like the fun little hope in the back of every Cubs fan's mind. Wait, don't tell anybody. I got a dirty little secret. What if Morrow comes back?
What if he throws you 40 innings? I'm counting playoffs, too.
Oh,
what if he's 40 innings of Brandon Morrow? It's real interesting.
So then how do you I guess you go Strope seventh, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Then you go Morrow eighth?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to trust him. Maybe you can make him a two-out guy. Maybe he's, you know, you have to be real careful with where he comes back and who you're facing him against.
Yeah, just matchups. And then Kimbrel. I mean, I are you worried about Kimbrel? I mean,
no, not so much worried, but I think I've, you know, I
came I need to a clean realize, inning. I could use one.
Yeah, you want him to have a clean inning coming in, because I don't think you're going to get one from him. I think those walks may happen. Still, dangerous stuff and was the needed addition this bullpen had to have. I think, you know, Jed was on with Mully and Haw just a couple of minutes ago, and one of the cuts that caught you and I as we were listening to it was Jed talking about Joe's efforts this season. What's been done different as they asked him to? And in very few uncertain terms, Jed kind of laid out what's been achieved by Joe Maddon this year. I think it's interesting because it sets up what may happen over the first couple weeks when the Cubs come out of the All-Star break year. He's Mark Grody in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You will hear Jed Hoyer in his own words when we come back. 670.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score. Mark Grody is in for Dan today. Dan has gone off to try and catch the Humboldt Park Gator. We're going to keep you updated on that as we go. Still, I mean, I woke up this morning, Mark, saw the news reports, the front page on everybody's list. It's all the Humboldt Park Gator. Still not caught. Alligator Bob out there, apparently. Still paddling around in the canoe.
Yeah.
A couple of traps, 5, I think, overnight were set. No gator.
I was thinking if you put a cage out and a bell, and when you catch it, the bell will start to ring, and then you'll see, like, oh, there's an alligator, now we can get it.
No.
Makes sense to me.
Doesn't my kid sound like Chunk from the Goonies?
Just kind of breathless and really excited that there's an alligator
Michael
near the
Jackson
house.
Michael Jackson didn't come to use the bathroom, but his sister did.
I saw a picture of the alligator with a couple of ducks swimming nearby, and if I was the ducks, I'd be like, what the hell is going on here? Like,
right?
We're here for one reason, is that we were told there are not a whole lot of carnivorous animals that are going to be swimming about.
We come to this lagoon because there's no
whoa,
death.
Look out!
Right.
Look out! Whoa!
No depth.
I did. I felt something for those ducks.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water. Right.
I mean, you think that like ducks are not afraid of people, and then now you've got this toothy gator swimming around. What the hell is going on in our lagoon?
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Like me, I thought you were drawn to the quote from Chris Bryant about Joe Maddon, job security, keeping him around, all that kind of stuff. And I will make a little correction here. I apologize. I think I mentioned in the prior segment that Chris Bryant is top four in wins above replacement. My brain got scrambled, wires got crossed. That's the wrong stat. It's weighted runs created plus.
You blew it!
I know I did, and he's fifth. Pete Alonso passed him in the last couple of ball games.
I was told this is the smart show, apparently not.
I'm sorry. I'm smart enough to know to apologize. Bryant is fifth in weighted runs created plus in the National League. An addendum has been made. Apologies offered. Mea culpa. Mea maxima culpa. But anyway, Bryant, who's having a hell of a season, despite his problems with runners, well, really the whole team's problems with runners on and runners in scoring position, was pretty adamant in print about needing this team to go on a run to fix their issues to keep Joe Maddon around. And it is through those comments that Mully asked Jed Hoyer, the Cubs general manager, a question about what Joe Maddon has accomplished so far this season, how things have changed, and what needs to happen going forward.
Joe's been incredibly active and engaged this year. There's no question about that. I think he and Chris have always had, you know, a really strong relationship. I think that, you know, that's the manager that, you know, walked in his office the first day back when we were in the old clubhouse. And I think they've always had a strong bond. And I think Joe has always been a nice sounding board for him. But yeah, I think, you know, we're all in this together. I think that's the most important takeaway of all of this is that, you know, we're all constantly having discussions about how to improve, how to get out of this rut right now, whether it's, you know, Theo, Joe, me, our players that have been here for a long time. You know, one of the best things about continuity is you can fall back on shared experiences. And so, yeah, I know Theo's had a number of conversations with players. I have on the road last time, being able to talk to those guys about what they're feeling, what they're thinking, how do we get this right. You can't do that with a guy you just brought in this year who hasn't been a part of our success. I think people like Chris and Anthony and a bunch of the guys that have been here for a while, we can have those discussions. And I think that's really meaningful. So, I think Chris, you know, is taking a lot of responsibility on the players. And I think that's a great thing. And I think it bodes well for the second half.
I mean, to me, the responsibility does rest with the players. If you listen to at the very beginning of that little cut there from Jed, Joe has been active. He has accomplished, well, if not accomplished, then definitely sought to fix the issues we thought might be around our management team at the beginning of this season, all during the offseason. We want him to be more active with hitters. We want him to be more involved in the coaching, I guess, of this team, not just the managing of the team, I guess, if it makes sense to split the two apart. And if that's the case, if they're looking around going, you know, we got Joe to change, then what? You know, then where are you headed? Then who needs to kick this team in the ass to get it something before the deadline? I mean, to me, that is the front office. That does rest on them to get the players some help, and the players themselves, they got to have something more out of just four guys.
I think at this point it would be, and I came to this conclusion listening to the interview too, at this point I think it would be an absolute cop-out of Jed Hoyer and or Theo Epstein to fire the manager at this point. Part of that is also the word we that they keep using, that Theo Epstein, when asked about Joe Maddon recently with McNeil and Parkins, you know, specifically said, I prefer to consider this, you know, all of us. It's a we thing. We're all in this mess together,
yeah,
is basically, and everybody has some responsibility for it. And I think that, and yes, Theo Epstein's been very good at saying, yeah, we're culpable as well because of a bad year in free agency last year. And, you know, you, Darvish, and Tyler Chatwood are, despite improving this year, are still hurting you this year. You, Darvish, is still not an ace. He should be a one, or that's what he was paid to be. He was paid to be a one or at worst
right.
a two.
No, no doubt.
With this team.
No doubt.
Tyler Chatwood, despite having found a place for him and having been relatively okay in, you know, relief situations, not very good in starting situations again this year. So those two guys are still hurting you. So if you want to let Joe go after this year when his contract runs out, that's fine. But I think at this point, it would be an absolute cop out to not let the we thing be real for the rest of this year and, you know, hold the players accountable. Because as you said earlier, too, it has felt like the stress level has been the same with this Cubs team over the last, really since 2016,
mm-hmm.
where something it's been maximum effort. The difference this year with this team, and I don't know, maybe this is on Joe, but it's looked sloppy. Whereas in past years, it didn't look consistently sloppy on the bases and on defense and things like that.
And I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's where you look at the margins of where you can win ball games and you just scratch your head. Because this team knew, you know, it was angry after it lost that game to the Rockies. It was angry. It thought it deserved to go farther. It thought it was the team that had more talent. It thought it was the team that could play deep into October. It did. Top to bottom, I think they did. And when you have that kind of a chip, you just don't expect things to fall, to slip through the cracks. You don't expect defense to drop the way it has. You don't expect bullpen issues quite the way they have. Bullpen issues, yes. I mean, it's baseball and that happens. Guys are going to walk people. But not to the degree and the depth that it's happened.
Base running mistakes.
I mean, the next time Wilson Contreras gets tossed out of a bag he doesn't have to go to will be like the 100th time.
Do you remember the Al's Alive, Miss Bunt, and Wilson Contreras and
God.
Javier Baez?
I mean, where are you going? Where are you going?
What are you doing, Wagner?
And really, I think because of those issues, Mar, I don't know how you feel, Cubs fans, 312-644-6767. I think it's kind of incredible, kind of amazing that they are where they are. You know, Jed also said in that interview they're fortunate to be a first-place team. They would be, if the Cubs were in any other division in baseball, they would be between 6.5 and 12 games, I think the math is, behind the first-place team.
It's amazing. And then it's crazy to think, too, that I never thought that we'd be saying this about the first two series out of the All-Star break where you take on the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are right now 2.5 games behind the first place Cubs. And then you have the Cincinnati Reds coming to town after that, and they are only 4.5 games off the first place pace being set by the Cubs. So unfortunately, and not being too dramatic, these first two series out of the break could be part of, as Jed Hoyer just said, defining this team. If they lose those two series, oh man.
It's the Pirates for three, the Reds for three. Then you have the off day at home, so you can find your Cubs in and around town if you want to and just let them know, hey, we're all behind you.
Let's go, guys. Come on.
Padres for three.
Mario Machado.
Mario Machado will be in town. Mm-hmm. Padres for three. Then they're at the Giants for three. You get the off day to head to Milwaukee. Three against the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's two games with the Cardinals. It's a great three-game series, but it's... Thank you, Rick. It's two against the Cardinals before the deadline. Then it's the third one. That's your schedule. When they traded for Jose Quintana, you remember that it was a July 13th trade.
I want to say Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, but I'm not positive. Rick,
we'd have to look that up. Yeah. Can we get that confirmed?
Yeah,
it's just tough to remember that trade specifically.
Or just play the Coomer thing. So, yeah. One or the other. Look it up or
so
just play
other
Coomer.
Things were going on. So they came out of the All-Star break. They won six in a row against the Orioles and the Braves. They won 2 of 3 against the Cardinals, 3 of 4 against the White Sox, 2 of 3 against Milwaukee. It was a 13-3 stretch. They went from 5.5 down to 2.5 up. You were there. Huh?
Yeah. They won the division by 6.
All of it July 14th to July 30th. That was what they did to announce their presence with authority. That's what they did to let them know that we don't have to sell. And that's what prompted, because they did that, Theo felt comfortable in that season talking about, well, if we hadn't done that, we were kind of ready to sell, despite the fact that we'd picked up Jose Quintana. We were going to move a piece or two, whether that was Wade Davis or I forget who the other expiring deal was on that team. But they were ready to move a guy or two to try and recoup some things. I don't know that that would be a terrible move here if you drop a couple of games. But it's clear to me that they want to add, that they want and need this team to keep a window open for them because of what this division is.
And still, despite everything that we're saying here, I still think that the Cubs are the best team in this division and that they are the most equipped to make a run. I'm sorry. Like, it's, you know, as John Smoltz said, it's a very, what did he call it? A competitive, instead of calling it a bad division, he called it a competitive division or something like that. He dumbed it down a little bit. I'm sorry, but Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, and to a lesser degree, let's just call it Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I don't see these two teams being around when it counts in September. It's going to be close for a while. I know that they are better than last year, especially the Reds, but I don't see those teams being a problem.
I agree with you, but you can't bank 13 against the Reds in this division like you used to.
That's,
you know,
true.
I mean, you aren't, you know, they steal X amount of games from you. Steal them. They take them.
They've been really good against the Cubs this year,
there's
no doubt.
The Reds take games from you, and you don't get to pad those numbers a little bit. Speaking of padding numbers, a text in from the 630. How can you say Chris Bryant is having a heck of a season despite his horrible numbers with runner and scoring position? It's because he is. He's having a hell of a season despite his numbers with runners in scoring position. You can look at, I guess you could slice that two ways, that I'm being Bryant-friendly, or you could say he's been terrible with runners in scoring position. Think about how much better he'd be if he had 10 hits with a dude on second base.
Yes.
5 hits with a guy on second base. Maybe 2 of them are extra base shots. You know, I mean, this is, look at what he's, Chris Bryant's slash line, average on base, slugging percentage, to whiteboard it, .297, .403, .552. That's a very good year.
That's
he
an
wants
all-star.
More. Cubs fans need more. The Cubs actually need more from him. He is still having a very good offensive season.
The Cubs are hitting .249 with runners in scoring position. They're 24th out of 30 in Major League Baseball. It's a team-wide problem, and they got away with it in 2016 because they just pummeled teams early. But they have, in this era of Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, Joe Maddon, this has not been a particularly good club when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring. And it's not okay because it's everybody.
It's not okay.
It's not okay. And it's absolutely, when you get a guy on second base in the third and fourth inning against the White Sox, at least don't hit the ball, bounce the ball to the left side of the diamond. At least get the guy over to third. And I realize that we're not allowed to talk about small ball in this day and age, but it might be okay.
Especially here.
No,
damn you,
not
Mark.
On this show.
Damn you.
At least get the guy over to, at least Tadahito Oguchi, the guy, over to third base so the runner is really in scoring position, and then your Jason Hayward ground out to second base might score the guy.
Segment brought to you by Patrick Cadillac. You'll hear more from Jed Hoyer when we get a little later on in the show, but in 2 weeks, Mark Grody's life will irrevocably change.
Yes.
The Bears report to camp, and one of the guys that's going to be there in Bourbonnais with him is our friend, Rich Campbell, the Chicago Tribune. We'll talk a little Bears when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.